Tonight at the early service, as we were getting ready to begin the service, Chris Ramey was to open, but he looked over and saw Brother Dave McGee sitting there, and he said, "Is he to open tonight?" And I said, "No, he's helping me preach." And without any time to think, Chris immediately said, "Well, somebody needs to." You always appreciate those statements that are made so quickly that you know a person didn't have time to think and analyze what he was saying. But in reality, Brother Dave is helping me with the lesson tonight. Most of you are aware that back a few weeks ago, maybe a few months ago now, Dave found that he was facing some rather serious health problems. And we've prayed for him and with him and about the situation as he's gone to Houston. And tomorrow, I believe, he goes for an analysis of the process of treatment. A few days ago, he came by the office and was talking with me about this. And he said, "You know, the one thing that I'm having more difficulty with than anything else is learning how to receive from others as they want to give." And he said, "I think we need a lesson on that." So I began immediately to analyze this and think about it and go to the scriptures and look at the subject in light of what the Word of God has to say. He was back in the office a few days ago, and I told him that I was planning to present that lesson tonight. And he said, "I'd like to make some comments to the congregation, and I think that these will be very helpful in a rather serious way, will be helpful in presenting the lesson tonight." And so I'd like for Brother McGee to do that at this time, and then we will continue with the lesson.
Those of you that haven't lived in this community for a long time, let me tell you something. This is a very caring, compassionate, and loving community. And I found that difficult. I found it difficult to handle. I don't know exactly why, but the feelings that I had, you know, I didn't feel comfortable with them. I felt like there were some shortcomings, perhaps, in my life. It may be that being a man, genes within us tend to be macho. And when people start coming to you and expressing love, you know, you get to the point where you really don't know how to handle it. And I talked to Ben about this, and this may not be, and I don't think it's unique to me. I think we can go out and we're right, Johnny on the spot, to help other people. But how are you going to react? And it will come sooner or later. How are you going to react when people come wanting to help you? And I think you need, we all need, to be prepared in a Christian way to be able to receive those blessings. So Ben and I talked about this, and we thought perhaps, you know, we need a lesson on this because we need to have the right attitude toward the givers and understand why when it does come. So with this introduction, I'm going to ask Ben to come in and talk to us and give us some further thoughts on this.
You know, God has a way of using the difficulties that we have in life for our good. But we don't understand those. We may never completely understand it, but we don't understand them as well as we can until some time has gone by. I'm pretty sure tonight that most of us could look back at some things that happened a year ago or 10 years ago, and maybe at that very time we thought that was the end of the matter, or we couldn't do anything else, or really we were going to have serious problems. And we look back now and see how God worked those difficult times or helped us to use them in a way to strengthen us and to strengthen others. And I believe that that will happen in this case. My problem is, I told someone the other day, I think God will take care of everything. I just wish sometimes he'd hurry up. And I think that's what's happening with us many times when we have some difficulty putting everything in proper focus. And really what we're talking about tonight is being able to put the subject of receiving and giving in proper focus with the right balance. And that's not always easy. In the passage that was read a few minutes ago, Carrie read that statement that you and I have heard for years and years, where Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. There are a couple things that are not said there that I think we sometimes maybe think are. He did not say that it was wrong to receive. And he did not say that there are no blessings involved in receiving. He just said there are more blessings involved in giving than in receiving. And I think if we will even look back at verse 34, where he talked about his own necessities, particularly in this case, he was working with his own hands to take care of necessities, and said in verse 33 he didn't covet their silver and gold, that we need to be reminded that there are other passages where he thanked different people for sharing with him in the spread of the gospel. And he indicates that if it had not been for the support of, well, churches like Philippi, as he wrote to the Philippians, that he would not have been able to do the things that he did. And Paul, by his own example, shows us that he really believed this statement of Christ, that there is receiving along with giving. But he would have been the first to reaffirm that there are more blessings associated with giving than receiving. After Dave and I talked about this, and I began to look at the Bible and try to sort of put this into a way that we could think about it, I decided that perhaps one of the best places we could go is to the 6th chapter of Galatians. There are three things tonight that I want us to notice particularly, and I think all three of these are suggested here in the 6th chapter of Galatians. First thing I want us to consider is that there seems to be almost an innate desire to do everything for oneself. How many times have you heard on a television commercial or something like this, especially with the little daughter talking to her, the mother, and saying, "Well, I'd rather do it myself." The last 4 or 5 days, we've had our 2 youngest grandchildren here. Just in passing, let me suggest to you, I realize now why God let young people have children. But anyway, I've had reaffirmed in my thinking this very point that each one of us wants to do what he can for himself. Our 4-year-old Julia wants to do everything for herself, and she'd do a pretty good job of dressing herself. Put her dress on today, and Judy starts. She said, "No, I'll button it myself." And the buttons were in the back. Judy said, "I can't even do that on me." She wanted to dress herself. The 1-year-old who can't even tell you what he wants to do can tell you what he wants to do in other ways. And he wants to do it for himself if he can. Well, I'm convinced that there's almost an innate, ingrown idea there that I want to do everything for myself if I can. And sometimes we convince ourselves that we can. Well, I believe verses 3, 4, and 5 here in Galatians 6 are pointing to that. A man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and the New King James says, examine his own work. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for every man shall bear his own burden, King James, bear his own load, New King James. The idea there is that every person wants to be able to do his own thing. And we like to be able to say, I did that. I was able to do that by myself. I didn't even have any help. I did that by myself and for myself. And so I believe that as we try to look at this idea of receiving, that we need to understand that there is something about us. And I guess I think we men have more problem with it than you women, as Dave indicated a moment ago, where we just want to do everything for self. I'll do my own works. I don't need your help. I don't need to depend on anybody. And the sad thing about that is it spills over into the spiritual realm. And we sort of sometimes get the idea that I can save my own soul. I can take care of my own eternity. I don't need God. I don't need anybody else. It is interesting that when Jesus began to talk about his disciples, he said, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. And you know I left something out, don't you? Before he said, take up his cross and follow me, he said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. As important as it is to bear the cross of the Christian life, as important as it is to follow Jesus in every sense of the word, before he mentioned either one of those two ideas, he said, first, you've got to deny yourself. And so I think Jesus was saying to us there in that very passage that we have a tendency to want to do everything for self and to sort of say to ourselves, I don't need anybody else's help. I can take care of it myself. Especially as we begin to grow out of the childhood years and into those teenage years and then into the early adult years. In James 4 and verse 10, James said, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he will lift you up. Humble before the lifting. It's hard to lift somebody up if they think they're already on top. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he'll lift you up. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7 says about the same thing. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and he shall exalt you, casting all your cares on him, for he careth for you. That's not easy to do. And I think the reason that it's not easy for us to do that is this idea that there just seems to be something about every one of us that I'd rather do it for myself. Then there is a second point that is suggested here in Galatians 6, and that is that there is a lot of joy that comes from being able to give. And I believe that's what Jesus had in mind when he says there are more blessings involved in giving than in receiving. I think one of the greatest points of proof of this is to watch a grandfather and a grandson at the Christmas tree. I'd say that many of us as grandparents may not remember what our grandchildren gave us a year or two ago, but probably we can tell what we gave them. Because there's where we got the joy. I had rather be doing something for you than you doing something for me. I know myself on this point, and my greatest joy in life, I think, is being able to do something for somebody else. You've heard me say before, if you're feeling blue, do something for somebody quickly. I have had the literal experience of having a headache, being called to do something for someone, and by the time I got through, realized that my headache was gone. And that's much easier on the stomach than aspirin. I think we just enjoy doing things for each other. We'd rather be on the giving end than the receiving end. Verse 1 says that here. Ye which are spiritual, restore the one that's gone astray. Had you not much rather be involved in helping to bring someone back than to be the one who's being brought back? Verse 6 says it to some extent. King James says, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Put that into simple language, that saying, support the preacher. And I like that verse. New King James Version says, instead of communicate, to share. And I believe that's what it's teaching, that we are to share with those who preach the gospel. And yet Paul on this occasion in Acts 20 said, particularly here, I've been working with my own hands so I didn't have to depend on somebody else. Haven't you said, oh, if I just had $1 million, I'd do this and this and this. I've said several times in my life that I wish I had enough money that every time I see anybody who really needs something that I could buy it for him. And I guess the reason God's never let me have that much, if I had that much, I might not have that attitude. But I really think sometimes I just would enjoy being able to have enough that when I see somebody, I don't have to ask anybody else to do something, but I can handle it. I can take care of it. And that's especially what's said there in verse 10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good. Not receive good, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. How many sermons have I preached and how many of you heard down through the years about do, 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 give, 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 serve, serve, serve. And that's what Christianity is about. But there cannot be any giving unless there is some receiving. Have you ever thought about that? Even the gift of salvation is only an offer of salvation until there is some receiving. If I took a $20 bill out of my billfold tonight and I said, I am willing to give this to you, it is not a gift as long as it's still in my hand. There cannot be any real giving unless there is some receiving. And this is, I think, where the problem sets in, and I think this is exactly what David was talking about. That we have more trouble with the receiving than we do with the giving. I haven't had a lot of experience with the receiving in many ways. God has blessed me tremendously with good health and strength down through the years, and usually, as big and strong as I am, if I wanted something moved, I moved it. I've never had to ask for much help. But as Dave said, I'm sure the time is coming that all of us will have to face those times. Brother McGee has experienced in his life the giving and the giving and the giving, and that compassion is here in this community. We don't have to do much preaching on giving the compassion. It's probably on the receiving of the compassion where we really have our problem. And yet, we've got to learn to receive as well as to give. And especially when we have needs. I think there are four basic reasons why this is true. Four ideas that are associated with this receiving concept. Number one, learning how to receive helps us to know how much others care. You don't really get that feeling when you're on the giving end. But when you get on the receiving end and other things are coming in your direction, you begin to realize how much other people care. And sometimes it takes illness and death in our families for us to really realize how much others care. I lived and preached in Carthage, Tennessee for some 3 years back a few years ago. Carthage is a smaller town than Henderson. And I heard the statement made many times while I lived there that in a small town, people will talk about you when you're well, but they'll come to see about you when you're sick. And that's true. I saw it happen over and over again. People who would almost be at each other's throat when they were well were ready to do anything they could do when there was illness or death or some problem. It helps us to know how much others care. And I think, David, this is what you have seen so much. He was telling me about different people from different backgrounds who would come and say, we want you to know that you're on our prayer list and how many different people are praying. And he said, what do I say to people like that? And I immediately said, at least you can say to them, I appreciate your concern. I appreciate the fact that you care. The second idea that's involved with learning how to receive, I believe, is it helps us to know how much God cares. David's sermon this morning was about the gospel in earthen vessels, but you know, not only is the message in earthen vessels, the service of Christianity is in earthen vessels. And Jesus especially teaches that in Matthew 25 when he was talking about how that the service to one another was really his work, was really serving him, and the idea that's sort of built in there and in other places is that's Jesus working through these people to serve others. And so when we see how much Christian people particularly care for us in difficult times, it helps us to be reminded of how much God cares. A third reason that we need to learn to receive is that it helps us help others learn how to give and how to receive. I mean, how to serve. I have been given some things in my life that I couldn't use, but I learned to accept them anyway. I've had people do some things for me that I had rather done myself, but they needed to do it. I'm still in the process of learning this lesson. I haven't arrived yet, because there are times that I'd really rather go ahead and do something than to let somebody else do it. But the other person really needs to do it. And so if I can learn to receive and can learn to be served, you see, I'm helping others develop their Christianity in service. And it may be more important than we realize to be able to do that. And then the fourth idea that is involved in learning how to receive is that it helps our own humility. You can't let anybody do much of anything for you if you're already on top. But if you're down, you begin to see how much you need others to help to lift you up. And it's rather difficult to even let God do something for you if you're on top all the time. Why do you need him if you're on top? And this may be the very reason that some of us continue to go on in life without being dedicated New Testament Christians, without having received the forgiveness of our sins. We think we can do everything ourselves. We think that we're in the giving business so much that we don't need to receive. And that great gift of God cannot be a gift unless it's received. God's willing to give and God's willing to forgive. But the question is, are we willing to receive? In order to be able to come, for example, before a congregation like this and say, I need to be baptized for the remission of my sins, or to come and say, I've made mistakes as a Christian and I need forgiveness and I need the prayers of the church, it takes humility. It takes being ready and willing to receive. That's sort of what we're doing. We're saying, dear God, I'm casting everything before you. I'm willing to do what you've told me to do. I can't do it by myself, but I need your help. It's interesting that in this New King James Version that I have here tonight, that verse 2 and verse 5 of Galatians 6 use a different word. King James Version uses the word burden in both verses. But in this one, in verse 5, he says, every man shall bear his own load. And in verse 2, he says that we are to bear one another's burdens. It's my understanding in the original Greek language that two different words are used there. The one that's translated load in verse 5 is the idea of a small load that one individual can carry. And he ought not to ask somebody to carry that one for him. He can do it. But the word that's translated burden in verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, is an idea of something that is larger and is really too big a load for one man. It's at least a two-man job. And so he needs some help. He didn't say you quit carrying your own load. He just said let's help each other when the load becomes a burden. And I think it's putting those two concepts together, which, by the way, do not conflict with each other, but simply implement one another, that we begin to see what is involved here. In fact, I like to take verse 5 that says, bear your own load, and verse 2 that says, bear ye one another's burdens, and add to that Psalms 55:22, which says, cast your burdens on the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. And sort of by putting those together, number one, I'm to do everything I can for myself, and I don't think it's really wrong for me to want to do everything that I can reasonably do for myself. Thank you, in fact, that God tells me that. But then to realize there's some things I can't do by myself, and I need the help of other people. That's where he says, bear ye one another's burdens. And even then, when we do that, that there's some things that are beyond the control of all of us. And that's what we need to cast in the hands of God and leave it to him. Brother McGee can do everything that he can do for himself. And then he's got to depend upon some doctors and others to make some decisions that he can't make. Some decisions that may have an effect upon the length and quality of his life. And he's got to be ready to receive the goodwill and the interest and the help that others are willing to give. He had much rather be going out to help somebody else that's sick tomorrow than going to the doctor to see what's ahead for him. But he's at a point where he's depending upon receiving. And then when he does all that he can do, and the doctors do all that they can do, and his family and his church family do all that they and we can do, the rest of it is left in the hands of God. So you see, there's not a conflict between giving and receiving. One implements the other. We have an innate desire, I think, to do things for ourselves. And if we have any concept of Christianity at all, we're going to enjoy doing things for others. That's the giving. And oh, there are so many blessings involved. But remember, he didn't say there are no blessings in receiving. He just said there are more blessings in giving and receiving. But there are some blessings in receiving. Knowing how much people care, knowing how much God cares, helping others to be able to give, and putting our own selves in proper perspective with humility. I think you need to ask yourself the question tonight, are you willing to receive what God is willing to give? There is no reason for any one of us to leave this building tonight in a lost condition. Because God gives. There is no reason for any one of us to leave with an active sin because God forgives. But you must be willing to receive that offer. It's the receiving where we have so much a problem. But with the receiving can come some of the greatest blessings. If you're willing to receive what God offers, you can be blessed tonight, even now, as together we stand.